Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a fantastic show today, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that are so sick and tired of working so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. So you work because you want to, not because you have to. So you can enjoy that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, to be able to have that passive income and all those things that you dreamed of in your life today, not someday, which ends up becoming never, but right now. And I'm fantastic, and I love having you on because you guys are Ripplers in the sense that you're not just trying to create freedom for yourself, but as you do so, you know you can create a greater ripple effect throughout the world as you have more financial freedom and more means to do so. You know that money is an amplifier of your soul. It doesn't create who you are or makes you more or less of what you already currently are. Well, it does make you more of what you currently are, but it doesn't make you something you are not. You know, money is a magnifier of the soul. Therefore, we teach you how to create greater stewardship with your money right now. So welcome to our show. Again, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There are some great blogs on there, especially some stuff that some of you guys like to go by the numbers. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. But definitely I want to discuss that and offer those things to you, as well as the free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans. So check it out. So I've had a great conversations lately with clients, and even some of you guys have been reaching out to potentially hire me as a consultant for you. And I appreciate you guys reaching out because, man, there is so much you guys could be doing that you don't realize. You know, give you an example. I just had, one of my clients here recently. You know, we went through, and it wasn't like they're in a great financial position, right? I mean, they were actually kind of, dealing with debt a little bit, or that was their main focus. We did more of a cash flow process versus just a passive income type process with them, right? But you know what? We started to dig into their stuff, and we were able to do a cash out refinance of their home and consolidate and do some things where, now, and between that and some other things, just with that alone, the refinance, we're able to free up just about $1,300, almost $1,400 a month. And now there'll be another 150 a month that they'll be able to pay off here pretty soon with another small loan that will be gone in no time. So already they're getting up to the point of like $1,400, $1,500 a month. And they had a 401k where they could actually, free up another about $1,100 a month. They're putting in their 401k. Now it's interesting. I had a conversation with them this week, and this is why I love, coaching people right now, because, it keeps my finger on the pulse. And it got me to realize, between this and a conversation I had with my wife over the weekend, that sometimes I just skip over details with you guys. I don't really get into it. I try to give you short and sweet and to the point. But sometimes it comes down to the numbers for a lot of you. And for me, because I've ran those numbers so much over the years, I've kind of just stopped running the numbers as often, because I know the numbers just keep showing up the same way, right? That what I'm teaching you works, and it works way better than any of the traditional stuff taught by financial advisors, by Dave Ramsey people, and things like that, right? And so I realized that I do skip some steps. And when I had explained it to my wife was like, she's the show me kind of person. She's like, I need to see this stuff. This is why you'll start seeing me create more YouTube videos here pretty soon. So definitely, I've already got a couple of YouTube videos up there, but you'll see more in the future. But anyways, like, I realized that there's a lot of things I have to visually show. And with these clients, it wasn't any different. They freed up the cash flow, and they were grateful for that, but they still weren't super happy about stopping the 401k. Both were working. The husband and wife were both working. They're both in their early to mid 40s. And of course, the wife, when she went to talk to her boss, because the boss, of course, is the expert, right? He just said, oh my gosh, why would you even change the percentage you're doing in this 401k? You should be maxing this out. You should be doing it all. It's free money. It's brainless investing. All that kind of stuff you hear, right? And even he said things like, yeah, tax is going to be cheaper when you get older. So that's the whole point of this. You get, you know, because she wanted to do a Roth 401k, which I was actually a little bit more in favor of, even though not perfectly. I'm like, hey, that's a step in the right direction. Well, he called her out on bull. He's telling her, no, the whole point of the 401k is to not pay tax today so you can pay taxes when it's cheaper in the future. And I just kind of got passionate about it. I'm like, oh yeah, like anybody's life gets cheaper in the future. You know, whether you're talking about your own personal life, your personal expenses, or even just because of inflation alone. And not to mention the last 100 years, we've been in the lowest tax, one of the lowest tax brackets we've seen for about 100 years now, right? And he's saying, oh, we're going to be a lower tax bracket in the future. You're going to pay less. Now understand, she's got like maybe 20 years till she can even access that 401k, even if taxes just happen by miracle, right? Some miraculously, they happen to stay down. Just for the mere fact that with inflation, you're likely to see at least double, if not triple, the cost of living by that point. Well, wouldn't that automatically put you in a higher tax bracket? Because if you're already spending, even if you're not spending the full amount, even if you don't need to spend the full amount that you're earning right now, the thing is, I guarantee a lot of you guys are spending more than a third of your income. Therefore, that puts you into a higher tax bracket because, you know, say for example, you think, oh, I only need $70,000 or $80,000 to live on today to pay my expenses. Okay, well, what if that number ends up being about $200,000? Understand that if the tax brackets don't change, you already jumped up into the 32% tax bracket, right? So you're already getting up there. So I kind of called bull on that. And then it got quiet. And remember, I do mostly phone appointments, right? And she says, yeah, my husband's not saying anything right now. She's like, don't you want to say anything? And she's like, oh, he's just shaking his head. And I said, did I get a little too passionate? And she says, and to describe it, you know, for me visually to understand what he was doing there, she said, yeah, he's kind of putting his finger and his thumb really close together. Obviously, you know, just a little bit, right? Being a little sarcastic. So I said, all right, you know, let me back up. Like, you know, I knew I had to create a safe place because I am passionate about this because not because, you know, I think I'm judging you or I think somebody's stupid. That wasn't the case at all. I was just getting sick and tired of hearing the same junk taught over and over again. And I know many of you guys have already bought into this. You already know this. But for those of you that maybe are still questioning it, you know, understand that, you know, we hear this stuff over and over and over. I mean, this is what the world has taught you is that you're supposed to save in your 401ks and the other mutual funds. That is the answer, that you need to become debt-free and everything else. And so I realized, hey, you know what? Okay, let's slow this down. Let's even get deeper into that. Now, I want to kind of talk about, you know, Dave Ramsey a little bit, because that's the point of the show, right? I want to talk about, you know, his baby steps, because, you know, the thing is, Dave's got a lot of decent things going for him, you know, and as I mentioned, my wife was the first, you know, certified instructor in the state of Utah to teach Financial Peace University. She's been to Dave's house. She's seen his life from an, you know, internal perspective, right? She's seen that up close and personal, more so than most anybody that follows him and are raving fans of his. She knows what he teaches. And there's a lot of good. There's a lot that she and I would agree on that he teaches. You know, for example, you know what? If you're drowning in debt, that does need to stop. That's a step zero, right? Is no more debt. You know, now I don't believe in cutting up credit cards or freezing them, but if you have absolute horrible discipline when it comes to spending, okay, there's a deeper issue. There might be more psychological things to deal with, not just freezing your credit cards or whatever, right? Or cutting them up. Now, I'm not saying that may not be the case for spenders, but I will tell you, I've had people tell me that are Dave Ramsey fans saying, yeah, 70-80% of the world are spenders. I would disagree with that wholeheartedly. Now, this is just coming from my perspective of, you know, working with, you know, thousands of people and stuff. Now, it could be the people I attract. So I know I can skew those numbers like anybody, right? You find whatever you're looking for. You know, it's that law of attention. You'll find it. And I know there's plenty of spenders out there, but I think it's more like a 50-50 split or pretty darn close. It's kind of like Republicans and Democrats, right? There's this two parties that you're looking at. You got spenders and savers. And then there's the tiny little independent parties that you'd never really hear about, which are the stewards, which is what we teach about on the show. So yes, I understand there's lots of spenders, but it's not like the entire world is a spender. They try to make them out to be like villains and just absolutely uncontrollable savages almost, right? But I get it. Like if you're a spender and you're having a horrible time because you just cannot control it, yeah, no more debt and maybe getting, you know, I wouldn't say cut up the credit cards, but I would definitely find a way to keep them out of your, in your sight. And it could be cutting them up or freezing them, right? That could be the case. So anyways, I'm not disagreeing with step zero. Step one, I understand that that's not, that's just a baby step. $1,000 to start an emergency fund. That is not the place to go. Unfortunately, what people will do, they take this literally. They go to $1,000 to start a saving emergency fund, and then they start paying off their debt using the snowball method, step two. This is where I disagree a little bit, because I've seen too many people fall back into that rubber band effect, as I call it, where you feel guilt. You know, you you try to use all the savings you possibly can, other than maybe a few hundred or $1,000. You pay off all your debt, only to find out now you need that money back because something comes up. So I think that emergency fund, if you're talking about step one, maybe needs to be at least $5,000 before you even worry. And for some people, at least $10,000 or more before you even worry about trying to pay off and snowball your debt, which by the way, I do have a very specific method to do that. If you search my shows, look for cash flow index, and you'll see that it's actually not the same as the Dave Ramsey method, but still more powerful. Step three, 3 to 6 months of expenses and savings. Wholeheartedly agree. That's awesome. Now, step four through seven, this is where we start to differ a little bit. And this is where my point comes in. Step four is invest 15% of your household income into Roth IRAs and pre-tax retirements, right? Like your 401ks. Now, a few things I disagree with. One, I don't like the method that they're talking about. Now, understand the average person that's actually taking Dave's advice, right? Or the ones that he's talking to, usually don't make much more than $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. That's one thing my wife noticed, is that there's a lot of people that were broke people that needed this. Like they needed to count and pinch every single dollar. So this doesn't apply to, you know, this is more like lower to lower middle class that we're talking to. Now, if you're middle to middle upper class, this is not the method to take. This is not going to work for you. So I'll come back to that later. Not to mention 15% is not enough. Period. It is not enough. Even if you follow all the steps, it will not get you there. Step five, college funding for children. You know, again, I'm not opposed to this. You know, we just had a show about this, about what you could do that's better than a 529 plan, right? Just did that show. So I disagree on the method, but I don't necessarily disagree with the step. So that's the thing. Disagree a little bit, but not wholeheartedly, right? Step six, this is where he says, pay off your house early. This is where we definitely would differ. Now, again, if you're a spender, I totally understand. You should be paying off all your debt. If you cannot control your spending, paying off your debt is probably one of the best things you can do. You know, have savings if you can keep it, but definitely pay off your debt. If you're not a spender, especially if you're a saver, or even if you're, especially if you're a steward, there are much better things you can do. And we talked about that, and we'll talk about that again in the future too. But definitely step six is something that I really do not agree with very much. And then step seven is about building wealth and giving back, which I'm a huge fan of the giving back, you know, donating for charities, tithing, things like that. I teach that myself, right? The way to build wealth, it's interesting because he talks about, again, investing more in the stock market or buying real estate, because he says you need some income, you know, duh. This is why a lot of things, even though that's not everything I talk about in this show, one of the best ways to generate passive income is through real estate investing. So again, half agree, but definitely in a lot of ways, the perspective I disagree. And here's overall where it comes to the head, is that a lot of what he teaches comes from a mindset of scarcity, that there's never enough, you can never save enough, you can never pay off your debts fast enough, and he encourages that scarcity mentality. It's based on fear, not faith. Now, again, there's so many good things he does, like there's mixed messages. But even my wife, that was the one reason why she kind of left that and knew she had to teach something beyond it, because it was very much scarcity driven, you know? And so anyways, I mean, that's kind of the thing with these steps, these baby steps. So I understand if you've been taught these, this is the mindset you're coming from. And this is what almost every financial advisor is telling you to do. Even the ones that say they disagree with Dave Ramsey will turn right around and agree with them. They'll just say, oh, we'll just do this investment instead, right? Whatever they sell you, right? But for the most part, they're pretty much agreeing with him. And so this is what he's missing. And I've seen this before. I remember the woman that called into his show. She was, you could tell she was younger. She was probably in her late 20s. And she said, hey, listen, my parents died. They left me some insurance money, about $1 million. And I'm trying to figure out what to do next. He said, well, did you pay off all your debt? She's like, yeah, I'm debt free. Great. Okay, good. Do you have your savings built up? Yes, I have that. So he's just going through the baby steps, right? So, yep, I got all that. Are you investing your money now? Like investing in what are you investing in? And she's like, yeah, I'm starting to save into my 401k, doing that too. It's like, all right, well, the only advice I have for you is just put in mutual funds, which I'm thinking, oh, that's great. Yeah, take the money and now gamble it, right? And that was the thing. Like when it gets to the point of how to create wealth, like really make money, this is where you lack. Now, from a budgetary standpoint, if you're trying to figure out how to create budgets and whatnot, there's some good useful tips that he gives and he laser focuses on that. And I would say if that's what you need, great. You know, I teach some of that stuff too. And I teach from a little bit different perspective, but he's got a lot of great tools there. But if you're trying to take it to that next level, especially if maybe you've paid off all your debt, but maybe your house, you might be in the perfect spot to hit a pause button and say, stop, that's enough, because there is something more you could be doing. So let me give you the example. So coming back to my clients here, we're talking about the 401k. You know, this husband started to open up a little bit more and say, you know, I'm having a hard time because I'm getting the match. You know, I'm getting the match and that money's growing in the market. And he's like, and I don't feel like I have a lot of money to just go and invest and buy real estate. And it was an epiphany for me because I realized we talked about real estate because real estate is a great way to do it. And real estate, at least you have some security behind it. You have control. There's some safety and that's behind that, right? That doesn't mean that you couldn't have bad experiences. You could have months where you don't get rent because, you know, somebody doesn't pay you for life situations going on, you know, that stuff can happen. Maybe there's some things that can happen to your property. Hopefully there shouldn't be damages if it's being managed well, not by you, but by probably somebody who's more professional and does it better. Maybe you are that professional, who knows, but you know, all these kind of things, right? There is some risk. But I told him, I was like, listen, there's other options. You know, there's things you can put your money into. Like I mentioned things like with the life insurance. I'm like, we can at least store it there and then start to invest from that place. You know, and they said, yeah, you know, we're interested in that because we're wondering how that works after we saw some of your education on that. You know, how do we get that double dip? You know, do we have to save up $50,000 for a real estate property? I said, first and foremost, if you have at least $25,000, you can start doing real estate investing. Secondly, there are some investing options, not many. There are some where you can invest less than $25,000. There are some out there that can pay you some interest and do better. I said, listen, based on what money we freed up, I mean, you're already in a good place. Like you're already in a place where we've already freed up well over $1,000 a month. We could have almost another $1,000 a month. We could be saving $2,000 a month. It wouldn't be that long before you invest, you know, if you're even trying to save for real estate, but that's not necessary. So I took an example. I said, let's compare. You put in your 401k with a match pre-taxed versus pulling, you know, taking that money home, taking less money than what you were putting in your 401k because you got to pay tax on it now. And then we start making money with it. So I showed him, and I just did very simple. I didn't even show it flowing through the life insurance where they made extra returns on it. I just did this simple thing. So I showed them, I said, all right, you got $98,000 in your 401k. You've been putting away with the match. He gets a 4% match on his 10% he's contributing. So he was contributing every month, almost $1,300 a month. It was $1,283.10 to be exact. So I did that. It said monthly $1,283.10. You're starting with $98,000. You're getting an interest rate of 6%. And I explained this. I said, listen, the actual stock market, depending on which time frame you're looking at, I mean, the average return of the S&P in the last 20 years has only been about 4%. 30 years has been about 7.5. So let's go with that. But again, people never get index returns. You don't factor in that you actually have underlying fees that you don't see coming out of your 401k. So you're lucky to net 6%. And that's pretty common. Like most people don't even get 6% on their 401k because of how they're diversified and stuff and how those different funds perform. But I just said 6% is a good number. Like if you even got 6% average for the next 20 years, that would be really good. So I put that in there. It's like 6% and average that out or compound annually for 20 years. And I just took them to calculator.net, just so you know, for those that want to actually follow along. If you're driving, do not do this. So again, 98,000 starting, putting in monthly 1283.10, interest rate was 6%, compounding annually for 20 years. And then I didn't put any tax or inflation rate because it's growing tax, compounding tax-free, right? You know, tax deferred, I should say. So in the end, he had about $899,000. So almost $900,000. Now, I said, if we go again on the aggressive side a good financial advisor will not tell you to pull out more than 2 or 3%. The whole 4% theory, that was good before when we thought rates were higher, but we've realized that interest rates in the markets aren't always what they seem. We had the baby boomers throwing money in that skyrocketed the market in the late 90s, right? So we had that, but it's not quite the same. So I said, listen, you know, let's say it's 3%. That means it's basically $27,000 a year, right? Or just under $27,000 a year. You got to pay tax on that. If we said the tax rate's just 25%, keeping it low, then that would mean you'd have about $20,200 a year to live on. So I'm like, there you go. You've now put away a good chunk of money every month for 20 years to now live on $20,000 a year after tax. Not factoring, like I just told you guys earlier, with inflation, that might feel like pulling out less than $10,000 a year, $7,000 to $10,000 a year. So it's not a lot, right? They're like, that's not enough. I said, you're right. It's not. So I said, now let's take another scenario. And this is going to be key because it's a different way of thinking. It's not simple as just doing a 401k. Now I did tell him, I said, hey, if you had a 401k, that $98,000, let's just say it stays in there because it is locked up. We can't do anything with it. This is one of my big beefs with 401ks. You can't access it to invest it however you want. You know, you have to actually go in either, if you're, for those that are working jobs, right? You know, you got to go and either quit or change jobs. So basically you have to not be working at your company anymore to get access to it. And even if you try to access it before you're 59 and a half, you get this 10% penalty slapped on you. And then of course you end up paying the taxes on it like you're supposed to anyways. You always have to pay the tax someday. So it's not the greatest thing to just throw your money into, especially when you could be doing something now. Speed and velocity is so much more powerful than accumulation. That's the thing. So anyways, so I said, all right, that $98,000, let's just let it grow 6% compounding for 20 years. You have $314,000. Now living on 3% of that, you know, you're just shy of $10,000 a year, pay tax. You're about $7,000 a year. Okay, so you're about a third or just a little over a third of what you would have had anyways by contributing. But now I see you're starting from zero and you instead that 12, you know, you're not getting the match anymore. You know, that's, you know, he was putting away about $1,100 a month. I said, all right, let's just say you only get $800 a month. So again, I'm going low. They might have a little bit more from their paychecks, but I said, let's just say $800 a month. We'll round down. Now the interest rate, I said, there's funds out there you could be paying or being paid 10% contractually. And I know some of you guys are even in funds like this or even getting paid more. So I know for many of you, this is not a big thing. So I said, you know what? There are funds I know that you could contribute $800 a month to and starting with $100 and get paid 10%. We'll compound that annually after 20 years. And I'm going to throw in a tax rate because now you get paid. Now you can let it accumulate and grow, but you still have to report the interest, right? So you're getting taxed every year. So it's not even taxed advantaged, right? You're getting taxed each and every year. So I said, all right, the tax, we'll just do the same, 25%. Now you calculate that. Here's the key, right? Remember, you still have $314,000 in that 401k that grew after 20 years, right, at 6%. Now this other money only grew at about $428,000. Here's the key, that 428. Now if you do the math, you'll say, wait a minute, Chris, that's just over a total of $742,000 and change, about $743,000. Well, if I would have put in my 401k, I'd have had almost $900,000. I'm nearly $200,000 short. And you're absolutely right. But here's the key. The key is this, is that, yes, you're now at $428,000 because you let that money grow and compound. You'd even take it as cash flow, right? But now you could take it as cash flow. Well, $428,000, you're getting paid 10% a year is guess how much? $42,800 a year. So now you got that. Now you got to pay taxes. So we'll say it's about $7,000 you pay in taxes, which is basically the same amount you're getting from the 401k, meaning you have about almost $43,000 that you're getting after paying taxes versus $20,000 using your 401k with the match. And guys, this is just simple 10% interest. I know, especially if you do things like real estate investing, you do other types of investing, you guys know you could, some of you know, I should say, some of you know you could be earning more than this, right? This is why I'm doing this. I'm playing devil's advocate against my point with these numbers. And so, yeah, about $43,000 a year is what you would net in that same exact scenario, even though you don't get that employer match. Now that's not going to make anybody wealthy, right? But again, it's all about power. How can you actually get your money to produce better for you? That is the real important question here, is how can you get it to be more efficient? That is the thing I love doing. That's what I love doing. That's why I had guys like, you know, one of my other clients, you know, from locally here in Utah, where he said, hey, if you keep paying off your debt and do what you're doing, cool. You'll free up $4,100 and change a month in 10 years. Or if you don't, we even, you know, maybe even cash out money for your mortgage, right? And start investing that. Well, now I can change to about $12,000 a month in 10 years instead of $4,100 a month. We can about triple the results. Just like this scenario, we more than double the results in 20 years, just with a simple example of a 401k. And that's the thing, guys. Like, I've run this so many times and in so many ways that, of course, I'm going to eventually say, all right, I don't even have to run the numbers anymore. I know. Because again, it's about cash flow. What does it actually do to produce income? See, Dave Ramsey, step seven was saying, hey, you know, maybe buy some real estate so you can have some additional income streams. Because if he's honest with himself and if he really understands the numbers, and I question how much he does understand, how much he does try to learn, because I think he just beats the same drum over and over. He knows that, you know, living on mutual funds isn't exactly the best thing to do, right? It's not going to give you the best cash flow streams at retirement. But that's what everybody's telling you to do. So let me tell you about this. I mean, again, it's about efficiency. So I just had another client this week. Now, she was somebody that, she was down in Vegas, saw me speak. It was actually a very small real estate group I was speaking to. And, but we created a nice little connection and she decided to hire me later on. And so we just had our first, you know, really our first meeting together. And she was really questioning whether she was going to get any value. I'm dead serious. She was like, Chris, I don't know. Like, and even the numbers I gave her, I was being conservative on the numbers based on what she had told me just from our phone conversation. And I was like, you know, we probably can easily create at least an extra $1,000-$1,500 a month or more with your situation, you know, depending on what's going on. But I think we can do, you know, maybe up to a couple thousand a month. And she's like, okay, you know, and of course, you know, she eventually took that leap of faith and hired me. Well, her first meeting, and not only does it happen, it doesn't always happen our first meeting, but it was pretty obvious. I mean, the big thing with her is that she had some real estate properties already. She was already doing some real estate investing, but they weren't as efficient as they could be. Now, she had a little wrench she threw in this because I was thinking we could do better, but this is the cool thing. Things keep working out. She threw a wrench, said, well, I've got two new renters in each of these properties, so it's going to be about a year before I can even sell them. I said, well, selling would be a better option because we could sell and then reinvest in other properties and make more cash flow than what you have, because her equity wasn't returning really well. And so I said, all right, well, we could do a cash out refinance. And we looked at the different options. We looked at refinancing versus just a HELOC and that kind of thing. We looked at her own mortgage, her own home. She was aggressively paying off her mortgage. Again, she was doing the things that Dave Ramsey would say, cool, do that, right? She was aggressively paying down some of these mortgages. I said, stop that. Stop putting the extra on there. And actually, if we factor in that she's paying extra on her mortgages, we're actually freeing up more cash flow than I even told her yesterday. But, you know, between just the things we could do with refinancing her different investment properties, her two different investment properties, and even refinancing her own home, getting it down to even a lower interest rate, which was kind of cool. The cool thing is that we're able to free up over $2,000 a month between what we could do, you know, basically free up the money and also be able to invest that money. And so with the money we can invest and take out plus the money we're freeing up, because we actually saved money on our mortgage payments. The cool thing is, yeah, we're about to net well over $2,000 a month. And probably by the time we're done, this is probably going to be well over $3,000 a month just this year that she'll be able to improve her cash flow situation. Now, granted, she wanted to do things to have more freedom in her life. She's like, you know, we want to start a family. We want to be able to travel more. And it's kind of hard to do with both of our work schedules. Well, guess what? It's possible. It's very possible. So, guys, that's the kind of power and the things we can create here. I mean, that's the kind of things that really are in almost anybody's situation, right? There are things that are there. There's money leaks that are happening you don't realize. There's money potential. Sometimes the biggest money leak is the money you're not making with the resources you have. And you're probably feeling like, maybe I could be better with what I have. And it may not be huge tweaks. It may not be 3,000, 4,000 a month, like some of my clients, or even more. Some of them do over 100,000 they could do in the first year. And that it keeps growing and compounding after that. But I'll tell you this, sometimes it's 500, 1,000 bucks a month. That's it. But for some people, that could be life-changing. That could be the difference between living paycheck to paycheck or having a little bit of breathing room and peace of mind. And so guys, you know, again, I know I went, you know, more detailed here But I hope this helps some of you guys that maybe feel like you've been missing out on the details, wondering, okay, how does Chris even come up with this stuff? You know, what is he even talking about? And I'm going to have, you know, other episodes come out in these coming weeks that will get more into that. And we'll dive a little bit deeper. So anyways, guys, I hope if anything, this inspires hope that there is another answer, that there are other options, that the options you've been given by the mainstream media, mainstream financial advice is not the answer. In fact, it usually will not even give you any hope. But I'm here to tell you there is hope. There are options out there that allow you to have more freedom with less risk and more certainty in your life than anything. So anyways, guys, if you have any questions, you can always shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. But I hope you guys make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.